I'm excited to talk a little bit about a best practice operational guideline initiative taking forth in the immunization information system community, and I hope to cover a lot of different ground about the initiative, some of the recent products that we've produced, as well as some of the impact evaluations that we have done. But first, I'd like to thank my presentation co-authors. I refer to them as the brain trust of this presentation. They're all sitting right here. So Rob Savage from EDS, Elaine Lowry from Colorado, and David Lyland from Northrop Grumman. Thanks for all your help and input on this. A couple of things I want to go over today. I want to talk a little bit about how facilitation and business modeling techniques have been applied to this area to come up with these operational and development guidelines and recommendations, describe the areas of the IIS world that we have looked at, and describe some early impact of these best practice evaluations and recommendations in the IIS world. It was nice to see Chris, which we didn't know about before the talk, seeing how he referenced some of these documents in his project that he was using there, and so it's kind of nice to see that showing up here. So thanks. Yeah, good introduction. Challenge. Today's public health programs, especially immunization information systems, are complicated. They're getting more and more complicated. They involve challenging processes, operating policies, deduplication, which we just heard about, patient status or MOGI issues, data quality issues. All of these things are becoming more and more prevalent in our world, and we have to start dealing with them along with all the various multi-level partners that are involved in most all public health systems. We're exploring some new ways of addressing these challenges and trying to manage these complexities. All the stakeholders that are involved in this are coming together to help develop consensus and reach agreement on these recommendations so that we can kind of move forward as a pack of programs that are concerned and involved in not only the challenges but trying to identify the solutions for moving forward. Part of the solution was the establishment of a committee through the American Immunization Registry Association with a couple of key goals to promote operational consistency of some of this data, foster communication and collaboration, as well as increase overall credibility of the immunization information systems that are out there. Hopefully this is a well-known thing, but I give this talk in a lot of different environments, so I always want to say that, you know, it needs to be consistent. The data quality is important and helps us all be able to use this information to make good decisions, either at the clinical level for giving an accurate forecast prediction or using it at a larger scale coverage level issue. So therefore, it's really important to keep this information of high quality, and MIRA is designed to help do that as best we can. This is how we get there. We use a multidisciplinary team approach. There are kind of three main phases to it: the discussing, the brainstorming, and the reaching consensus step of it. We analyze a variety of topics here in each of the various registries that we look at. We look at their as-is current situation. We bring everybody together in a facilitated, structured environment where these issues are analyzed and discussed. We have a variety of experts that are brought to the table, including a facilitation team, subject matter experts, and business analysts and modelers. We lock everybody in a room for a couple of days and try to come up with good recommendations. Then we follow it up with a fair amount of offline or post-meeting work to develop and refine the materials. Why do we use business modeling? These techniques that we use for this help bring a systematic and engineering approach to gathering the information in a complex IT-focused world. We analyze, document, and moderate differences between systems, processes, and operations with a long-term goal of improving data quality and consistency. One of the nice things about these techniques, it helps us identify a specific problem, break it up into various different components, and then that helps us manage it and come to consensus on what the issues are. Another thing we do throughout these guidelines and these documents, these are all technology neutral recommendations. We don't make any assumptions about certain operating systems or software platforms that you are using. We try to make sure that these are technology neutral business decisions that are driving the technology needs in the development of a requirements process for improvement. We've covered a variety of topics, and I'm not going to go over each one of them, but early on we did an assessment of topics that needed, that the community felt would benefit from some best practice guideline recommendations. And so far to date, we've developed three core documents that have touched on a variety of these issues, from immunization-related cleaning, that's the most recent one, which I'll get to in a minute, reminder recall issues, deduplication, MOGI, patient status, which is also kind of associated with the medical or immunization home. So we've kind of hit a lot of the different buckets that we originally set out to analyze and look at, and we're starting to get ideas and so forth for a next topic, which I'll talk about a little later on in the presentation. These are the results that we've compiled to date. They're all on the ERA website, which is referenced there. There are one done each year on data quality assurances and IISs for incoming data, vaccine level deduplication, which Chris mentioned, and the management of the moved or gone elsewhere MOGI problem and other patient designations that we did first in 2005. We also did an early pilot project using VAERS interactions between VAERS projects and immunization information systems. So we kind of sort of count that one as an experiment in how we go about collecting this stuff. When we put this slide together here, it kind of shows the results of each of the different projects that we've looked at. And it's kind of a little discouraging to think that all this work fit into one slide. But I guess if you looked at it like this, it kind of does. We brought a lot of people together to facilitate and tackle complex problems, came up with a variety of highlights that are recommended in each of the guidelines. Panel sizes ranged anywhere from about 11 to 20. But we always tried to come up with products that we thought would be as useful and beneficial to the community as we could make. And so we tend to start increasing the number of rules and principles and operational scenarios that we look at through this. And this slide kind of helps break it down into the three kind of summary level results that we've got. Just a quick blurb on the most recent one, which was on data quality assurances. We took this topic and looked at what are the types of data quality checks you need to look at on all inbound data into the registry. We developed a variety of about 32 business rules to follow, which were associated with some core operating principles, and developed a bunch of specific scenarios that illustrate the application of these principles and rules are validation checks that you can run in your registry. We also developed key definitions and that had to be known before we went into developing rules and checks for each of these validations. This tends to be a time-consuming process because we might think we all know what we're talking about and use the same terms that actually mean different things. So we really try to peel down into the level to make sure that we are referring to a vaccination event the same way and it occurs the same types of information that we need to. One of the other a couple of the key points of this process include a pre-certification phase that has to be looked at when you're starting to absorb data from inbound systems like provider systems, EMRs, et cetera. Some of the core things you need to be looking for before you load this data into your system. And so there's some recommendations and some rules to look for that. And also develop some guidelines on profile recommendations that need to be applied to the different types of providers that you're looking at. The link is here where this a new document has been posted. You can get to it off the ERA website. So that's just a quick blurb for the most recent one. There's also copies of it down at the ERA booth. I think there's still plenty of those available, so please feel free to go down there and check it out. What do these results offer the typical IIS practitioner? Well, first of all, these are consensus-based peer review guidelines for some of the most practical issues we're facing in immunization registries. So they've been developed by registry professionals across the country with lots of other input and facilitation and structure along the way to help us kind of get to the end result. They talk about each topic and why they are needed and what's relevant from a programmatic or data quality perspective. Pretty good descriptions of principles and specific rules to apply. Key set of agreed upon terms and where the situation calls for it, such as in patient status or MOGI recommendations, we analyze certain workflows and come up with recommendations that need to be applied across the way in tracking these core fields. So moving on to the evaluations of and feedback results from some of these results and how they are being applied in the IIS world. This is a very brief evaluation we conduct after the end of each session. It kind of just lays out feedback from the kind of two and a half day meeting where we lock everybody in a room and say you can't come out until something good is done, and then we ask questions about did they like it, and everybody for the most part wants to come back and do it again, which is always surprising to me, but I'm pleased to see that a lot of people are willing and wanting to do it again. Pretty good willingness to participate and implement these recommendations, which is good. Still barriers exist on their ability to implement, and you can see that's the second bar up there, that those are tend to be a little bit difficult due to some of the barriers it takes to do most anything in the immunization world, but especially some of these challenges. And we are trying to work to help address some of those barriers for upcoming activities. Soon after, or I guess earlier this year, we started an evaluation of one of the first documents we conducted, which was the patient status or MOGI guideline document. We wanted to kind of assess the impact of the status document, receive feedback on the how the document can be most useful to IISs, and determine and provide feedback to the group on how to improve these patient status guidelines as a baseline for future evaluations. We did a quick web-based instrument. Probably a lot of people in the room got a copy of it or were asked to fill it out. Then letters went out to program managers trying to get one response from all the various IISs. We did a follow-up phase with the second letter, and then because participation was kind of spotty in that, we had to follow it up with some phone call. We say phone call follow-up for non-responders. It was more like begging and pleading to take a few minutes to tell us what to think about this. So a lot of our steering committee members volunteered to do that quick online assessment. Basically, we were looking at how useful are these documents? Have they been read? Have you attempted to use or address any of the guidelines in it? And then this is some of the results for what we're finding. I think overall we got about a 42 or so percent response rate that included all the various modes of bribing to try to get people to fill it out. 19 of 30 respondents were pretty familiar with the guidelines, which says that I think there's still a lot of work to do in order to get the word out that these things exist. Staff turnover is always a problem, and so it's got to be something we need to take in mind about continuously getting the updates and feedbacks to new people out there and letting them know that these are resources that are applied and out there, because obviously that needs to be a little bit higher. 11 of the 19 who were aware of the document has spent substantial time reviewing the document. So I think that's good that people are beginning to take a look at it and see really what these things are and how they can be applied to their particular operational situation. We kind of plotted out, we were hoping to see what the familiarity was with people who spent a lot of time reading the documents and how useful they are. We couldn't really come up with a good statistical measure on it, but I think there's just a little bit of a trend there that the more time you spend reading these things, the more useful they are, and we can't really quantify that very much, but a little bit of a trend there that may be emerging. This is a summary of the kind of results that we found so far to date on the project. I've got some more details that I'll go into a little bit. You know, everybody's finding them at least somewhat useful for the most part. We ask a variety of questions about reminder recall and patient status terms and how people go about tracking those at a couple of different levels. And this is an important thing to realize, because at least initially, we thought a lot of people weren't really analyzing or querying this stuff at the geographic level. And it turns out that a fair number of people were, at least the respondents that came and said that they were kind of analyzing patient status at a geographic level. It was certainly higher than at least what I was expecting to see. Other recall and stuff at the provider level and geographic level were about what we expected, I guess. So anyhow, a few other results are coming up here. We did ask about some of the barriers for those who had tried to implement. What were the barriers of trying to get them adopted were? And we're trying to figure out a little bit more about what the inconsistent business rules were with other program terms that people are using, because that's something we need to really understand and try to figure out if there's a recommendations that's radically inconsistent with something you're already doing. We need to kind of tease that out, because hopefully these things are being designed and proposed by people who are pretty familiar with that, and we just are a little bit concerned about that. The typical concerns about staff time to figure this out, competing funding priorities, and the issue of, well, I'm going to do it, but I'm going to wait till my fall upgrade comes around before I turn on these switches or apply these business rules. And so a lot of people are trying to implement those things according to the next upgrade that their system are trying to apply. Just a couple other follow-ups here. Tracking patient status at the provider level. Most everybody is doing this, and that would be typical. It's what you would expect. 43%, as I mentioned earlier, which was a little bit better than what we thought of, people were trying to track patient status at a geographic level. This means that if you mogey someone out from a provider unit or provider clinic, you're still tracking that to make sure that they eventually show up in another geographic area within your state or within your region that you're looking for. And so that's the issue of trying to track it at both a provider level and at a geographic jurisdictional level. So at least 9 out of the 21 here indicated there was some attempt to try and do that, which I think is good. The basis of that recommendation was so that people don't fall through the cracks as far as their patient status tracking is always being monitored no matter where they're going, unless they kind of completely leave the state. And so then it becomes someone else's problem to keep track of that. Reminder recall, I don't think there's any surprises here, but recall at the provider level is pretty common, and also fairly common at the geographic level. Doing assessment coverages at various different levels is also fairly common, and people are striving to do that from the best practice recommendations that are up there. Kind of in summary, the conclusions that we came up with, a lot of these techniques are useful for helping to build the consensus. A lot of people I see in the room have participated in some of these initiatives, so they can either commiserate or concur, I don't know, depending on the perspective, about the impact of these techniques of how we go about reaching consensus and developing the guidelines. Implementation barriers still exist, a lot of resource challenges out there. We're trying to do some more complete assessments of the barriers for their implementation. We're taking some time off to kind of look at barrier-related issues and do some assessments before we kind of get into the next specific topic. We're also trying to do some more marketing and benefit analysis of these best guideline recommendations. They're not light summertime reading, so some of them are quite thick, and they're intended to be a complete analysis and recommendation of a particular issue. So we're trying to look at, are there snippets of the material that we can pull out and market so that more people are aware of them and they're a little easier to digest and process and perhaps make some decisions on. So that's another thing that we've got going on for the next phase of the work group and its projects. I just led right into that. Continuing our evaluation efforts, developing marketing strategies are kind of where we're hoping to go. We do not have a next topic. Usually by this time of the year, we like to be able to say what we're going to tackle next. And at this point, we're still in the assessment phases of trying to figure out what that is. So I'd love to hear ideas either at this forum or there's a ad hoc meeting tomorrow from the lunchtime sessions from 12 to 2, and so that's another opportunity for people to come and provide some feedback and hear some other testimonials about this project and its rollout and use and immunization systems. We do, only thing we really know is we like to try and do this around October to December of next year, but topic is to be determined. I'd be remiss if I didn't acknowledge everybody who's participated in this. I was going to say there were hundreds of people who participated. I don't think we're at hundreds yet, but dozens of people have participated in this across the community, from subject matter experts who have knowledge on a variety of different topics. We have a very active steering committee that meets at least once a month, perhaps more, depending on the need and issue. ARRA staff have been real good and very valuable about pulling all this together. A lot of state IIS folks, we have a good batch of, we send this stuff out and we get a wide variety of comments and suggestions for improvement. So I'd like to thank all the external reviewers, technical editors, and the facilitation team who have all been very great in helping to put all of these things together. They're a big undertaking to get produced. Oh my. I hope the weather is okay, so. As a local, every time I hear that now, I think, oh, geez, everybody get under their chair. copies of the recommendations can be found at their ARRA webpage here, imregistries.org, or at the ARRA exhibit booth. We've got some copies there still, I assume. They're still there? Are they still there? Yes, okay. And more in-depth discussion tomorrow at the ad hoc meeting from 12 to 2 in the Jefferson Room. Is that our Jefferson Room? Yes. There's my contact information if you have any questions, and I think that's it. Are we taking questions now?
I'd like to thank Warren for a wonderful presentation. If you have any questions, please step up to the mic, and these brilliant gentlemen will be able to answer them.
Chris, this is for you. I don't know if this thing on. I'm curious what kinds of testing you used for measuring the sensitivity and specificity of your deduplication, since it's a pretty complicated
issue. Question was for Chris, and they has to do with the specificity.
How he measured sensitivity, specificity of the deduplication process.
Can you, like, you know, define sensitivity and specificity?
Okay, so basically, you have two people that are the same.
Mm-hmm.
How likely are they to be matched? And two people that are different, how likely are they to be not matched?
Yeah, like I said, you know, we create a condition. We create condition for using the characteristic of the data, and then we create the sum. Total sum, and then we generate the distribution of data, and then we collect the sampling the data, and then make sure those are the data that we expected. So we did random sampling, or some, you know, especially has lot huge numbers. We checked all records one by one. So. We confirm that those are the correct information. Is that it, sir?
Excuse me. Next question.
My question is for Chris, and it's about deduplication. And I'm from Guam, and we just started using our WebIC or our registry last year. And I'm just curious about who is assigned in doing the deduplication in California. Does it have to be an IT person or anyone in the immunization can just do it? Because the way we do it is there's a batch file every night that runs automatically, and then the next day somebody in the immunization record would do a comparison using the hard copies that we have in the office and, mm-hmm. and check whether which one is more accurate. So how do you do it?
Yeah, the vision we start, because we don't want to do it manually, because in CARE, application CARE, there's possible duplicate report. So it generates tons of pairs, and then human needs to call or identify if those are true duplicate or not. So using this algorithm, what we do is we confirm those, you know, 80-something percent are truly duplicate. Then we, you know, make sure those are duplicate. So using some automated, you know, streamlined process, just, you know, daily, nightly, just deduplicate the patient.
And it's the IT person who does it.
It's what?
It's the IT person in your area who does it, or
there's, you know, like I said, there's a, you know, executive. I mean, like EXE files or some IT involvement required.
I have a question and also a comment, actually an answer to her question. So I do the QA, and part of my job is doing the deduplication for the Los Angeles Orange County Immunization Program. And our experience has gone from, you know, an average, and right now we do it manually, as I'm sure you know. We've gone from 200 to 400 pairs about 2.5 years ago to about upwards of 1,500 to 2,000 pairs a month. Mm-hmm. For our registry, and we do that manually. So now I need three people to help me. So,
that's right.
So I guess my question to Chris is: as California is moving towards integration of registries, mm-hmm. now we're combining 9 regional registries. What is that? What? How do you forecast the process is going to become now? Because right now, locally, regionally, we're doing it manually.
Right. That's the reason that we create like, this process.
Do you know the sort of timeline when that would happen? I'm not putting you on the spot, but I guess I am. But I mean, it's just a lot of work.
You want release date or something? Well, you know, we want to incorporate in the process. So, you know, from the back end, it runs this process automatically, identify, you know, possible duplicate, and then merge automatically instead of using merge interface. Just, you know, merge this patient record and then logs for the audit trail. So make sure, you know, later if there's something we identify, those are not true duplicate, then you can unmerge those patients.
So is that going to happen at a state level, or is it still something locally?
It's going to happen on care. Right, right.
Okay, I take it all questions have been answered. Thanks for being excellent.